and we reintroduce our live studio band today, but just for today. Jen Ambrose is on the guitar right now, playing us into a segment about the festival at which she will be appearing this weekend. That's the Oregon Honey Festival. Sweet Moments will be great in number this weekend at the hotel in Ashland. The Ashland Springs Hotel is the home base for the Oregon Honey Festival, an assemblage of people who work with bees and honey, and the people who like honey and bees and the products of their work. Sharon Schmidt is the founder of the Oregon Honey Festival. She's here as well. Sharon, tell us about how the Oregon Honey Festival got started.
I don't know what it was like where you grew up, but at my house, I was convinced that honey was white until I was about, 30 years old. What did you guys have?
It was certainly lighter in color than I think we're used to now. I mean, you plunked these jars on the table in front of us, which I should have gotten a picture of for Facebook, too, but they're real nice and orangey-looking.
Real nice and orangey-looking, exactly. And so over the last couple of years, I started to sample different kinds of honeys, and lo and behold, became aware of the fact that there's this whole different group of varietals that you can sample, and they're all different from each other. Sometimes you can get honeys that are completely different, although they come from hives that are next to each other. So there's tremendous variation, and they're fun to taste and just delicious.
And so are you a honey, do you keep bees yourself or get involved in the processing of honey in any way?
Not yet. Uh-huh. Not yet. That's coming. So my fascination has been with honey, and so this first annual Honey Festival is going to be held, as you said, at Ashland Springs Hotel on Saturday from 11 to 4. And we're really looking forward to it. General admission is going to be $7. We also have a luncheon that's being served with Sarah Redlaird as our speaker. And we may have a few tickets left for that at the door. But we're looking forward to welcoming people into the world of honey. I was in the airport in Portland, and lo and behold, whose book should I find but Marie Simmons. Marie Simmons is an award-winning author. She's the former editor for Cuisine Magazine, and her book is called Taste of Honey. So Marie is going to be coming down and sampling some of these things with us. And I thought it'd be fun for us to do that right here. So before us, we have a few jars, and I would invite you to open yours.
All right.
Yeah. And Jen, I've got one for you, too.
All right. Everybody gets a jar of honey. Rogue Valley honey.
Yeah.
Pure natural honey.
For lack of anything better, I brought straws, mm-hmm. and you don't have to use the straw in the traditional way, but I'm going to encourage you.
It is tempting, though, I have to say.
I'm going to encourage you to take a taste, mm-hmm. and let's compare our impressions.
All right, so
yum.
You know, honey, you said honey was white because you got a mouthful now.
Mm-hmm. That is delicious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very rich flavor. Is it true that honey is the only food that doesn't go bad?
Mm-hmm. Technically, you could keep that jar for the next 3,000 years if you stored it properly. So that's what's really fascinating is that this is kind of, I was thinking of Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle,
uh-huh.
you know, because bees have sampled from whatever flowers exist in their area and are storing this really delicious treat for us for the next 1,000 years, you know, if we want it.
So is that what makes for all the different varieties of honey, the fact that bees are able to you know, whatever it is that they are busy pollinating is going to be what gets into the flavor of the honey?
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. We're passing the honey around, I see.
So, now I'd like for you to take a taste of a different honey. We've got some more sticks here.
I didn't want to double dip in them.
Don't want to do any double dipping, exactly. So what did you think of that first one, by the way?
That's good. It's a very earthy kind of tone to it.
Uh-huh. Very earthy kind of tone.
It's got a little bit of that that sugary throat burn you sometimes get from maple syrup.
Uh-huh. Okay. So how does that compare with this one?
Okay. Well, let's find out. What was the first one?
The first one that you had is actually made by, Rogue Valley Honeys. Mm-hmm. It's very dark honey.
Wow, this one's very different. This is from Franz Honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
It's raw local honey, wildflower,
mm-hmm.
is what
mm-hmm.
it says in the label.
And the other one that I have is a much darker one. The one that you have is technically amber. They're usually divided into three colors, usually light, amber, and dark. And what you want to see when you open a jar of honey is you don't want to see a bunch of bubbles at the top. You don't want to see a bunch of schmutz or B part. Either at the top or the bottom.
Yes,
Yeah, it's a technical term.
All right, so no B parts and no things floating in it. So there's some filtering obviously goes on here as well.
Exactly. And if you were to see bubbles at the top, you would think about whether there was proper filtration done. You might also think about whether there was fermentation. Okay, and so those are things we don't want to see. These are really nice examples because there's none of that on the top. Want to trade again?
Sure. Let me ask you, though, as we do the trade here, though, I mean, why is it that there's so much interest in bees and honey right now? I mean, obviously, this is the first Oregon Honey Festival, and it seems mm-hmm. like this is a really hot topic. I know this from having put not only have done the interviews on the air about honey, but putting stuff up on our website. I have lots of bee pictures now in our website's picture trove. So what's going on? Why are people so interested in bees and honey at the moment, do you think?
Well, bees have been the canary in the coal mine, I think, for a long time, and people are just starting to realize that is a true fact. They are the ones that are susceptible to the neonicotinoids, to the poisons that are put on plants. And so we're seeing honeybee deaths. As a matter of fact, in I think almost every state in the union, honey production has decreased phenomenally over the last 3 years. There are some exceptions to that. There are some states that are coming back. And I think that people are noticing that apiculture is definitely impacted by permaculture. And so I think that the more that we can do for honeybees, the better off the entire ecosystem will be.
We're talking to Sharon Schmidt, the founder of the Oregon Honey Festival, coming this weekend to the Ashland Springs Hotel. And I wish we could be sharing the experience here in the studio with you as well, a little better than we are, because we're having honey here in the studio. You can join us on the exchange, though, with your questions and comments about honey and bees at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. We have a call on the line. Here is Cynthia in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sharon Schmidt.
I'm planning to go. It sounds like fun. But I do try to eat organic, and I'm wondering how is honey designated organic as bees do forage? Is there like a mileage kind of thing that they can guarantee that the bees are foraging on organic plants, or how is that done?
Yeah, you raise an interesting question. I mean, the little critters are not bounded by fences, so they have a range of a couple of miles. And, you know, if your land is organic in that area, you probably will not have any of the typical kinds of pollutants that you might get in other areas. So it's a great question. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate that, Cynthia. You can also call in yourself and talk to Sharon Schmidt about the Oregon Honey Festival or about bees at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. That last honey, the unlabeled mm-hmm. one in the courage, it's got some hints of vanilla in there or something. Is that an additive?
No, that is exactly that's the product of the nectar that those bees were feeding on. Isn't that amazing?
It really is. All right. So which gets to the basic question, though, about honey is it bee barf?
No, it's not bee barf. It is processed by invertase, which is in the bee's stomach, but then it's secreted from the bee and put into these interesting little sections of comb where it supports baby bees.
How much work does it take to get the honey from where the bees leave it off to getting it into the jar?
Well, let me start by telling you that each teaspoon of honey is the life work of 12 bees.
Wow.
Yeah.
The life work. I mean, that's the lifetime
work.
Production.
Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, they've done this major work. Taking the honey actually involves uncapping the each of the screens and spinning the honey out and filtering it. So there's quite a few phases to it, but it's fun, it's interesting, it's something you can do with your family, kids do it, and it's tasty.
Is there beginning to be something of a boom in people keeping bees in yards, on bits of property? I mean, just keeping bees themselves for whatever reason, for pollination, for honey, for whatever the reasons might be?
Yeah, there is. And one of the major issues involved in that is that we need to have adequate forage. We can have all sorts of beekeepers, but if there isn't adequate forage, we have a problem. Or if that forage is polluted in some way, we have a problem.
Okay, so what kind of forage?
So the kinds of forage that we like to see planted, I think I would give you the web address for the Rogue Pollinator Project, mm-hmm. because I think it's very complete. I would encourage anybody to take a look there.
Do you have it off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll see if I can,
I can
look
get
it up
for
while
you.
We're sitting here. Okay, Rogue Pollinator Project. We have had them on as well.
Right.
To talk about this. But so basically they need clean places to play and do what bees do that don't involve pesticides, et cetera, to be able to deliver a clean honey product back.
And water sources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the drought has affected honey production in many areas. Now, bees are trucked all over the Pacific Northwest. We have some fairly large producers here who take 1,600 hives at a time to California to the almond groves and are paid for each hive that that is used to pollinate those crops. So about every third forkful of food is brought to you by a pollinator. We really need those pollinators.
One in three, then, every third forkful.
Right.
All right.
It's amazing.
Well, the fact that we do, that we've gotten used to the idea of the hives being loaded on trucks and trucked to places for pollination to go on, this is not a natural occurrence. I mean, obviously, the trucks have not existed for that long. So is the reason that has to be done the fact that there are so few natural pollinators in many areas?
Yes. And there's such a tremendous amount of amount to be pollinated.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
A lot of work for the bees and obviously some transportation work for the beekeepers as well.
And the amount of work that they're doing has something to do with their stress level. Bees that are brought to fields to pollinate carrots, for example, might have a shorter shelf life than bees that are brought to other types of crops. And the reason for that is that perhaps carrot pollen isn't quite as nutritious. So there are a number of stressors on bees. One of our speakers, Lynn Royce, actually she's an exhibitor, is going to come to the Honey Festival. And her specialty has been in talking about the mites that affect bees. Now, until the early 80s, we really didn't have this problem. But for some reason, that got imported into our bee species. And it's an additional stressor. So forage, poisons, mites, diseases are things that we have to cope with in integrated pest management. And that's another whole topic.
Do we know much about colony collapse disorder at this point? It seems like every few years there's some scientific revelation announced in mainstream media that indicates that they might be on the verge of figuring out it's a virus or it's virus and mites or some combination thereof. Do we know at this point what causes this thing called colony collapse disorder where the populations of bees just get decimated in a very short amount of time?
You know, I probably can say that colony collapse disorder is probably the culmination of a variety of different stressors. And so I don't think the answer to that question is well defined yet.
All right, so still no one particular cause we can take it back to.
Be nice to have that, but I don't think there is one particular cause and only one.
So is the Honey Festival meant to appeal to people who are interested in beekeeping, people who just like the taste of honey, all of the above? I mean, who are you thinking of as the people who will come to the Oregon Honey Festival?
Both the foodies, the gourmets, and the beekeepers, I think are good candidates. I should also mention that kids 8 and under are free, so if anybody wants to come down with their kids, that's a great thing to do. We've had some great support from some of the organizations. We've had good support from Shastina Millwork. They have donated 2 complete honey hive setups for some people to get in a drawing. We've had some help from Glory Bee, who's sponsoring a talk by Sarah Redlaird. We've had help from Dagoba, which has sampled us with chocolate. Why chocolate, you wonder?
Why chocolate, I wonder, yes. And why almonds, too, but we'll get to them all.
Yes,
chocolate?
Yes. Well, the almonds are more easily explained, I suppose, because bees pollinate almonds. So
right.
There's a natural connection there. Chocolate, because we like to do pairings. We like to do pairings with honey and chocolate, honey and cheeses, and so on and so forth. So we've got a wide variety of exhibitors coming. Who else? Let's see. Misoya Restaurant has given us some nice gift certificates, as well as The Grange, which has also provided us gift certificates. And then finally, Harry and David has put together a beautiful basket, so everybody who comes in will be entered in the drawing to win.
Excellent. And this is all for, I mean, just wandering around, you get for $7. I mean, but do samples and things cost anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
But then there are separate tickets for the luncheon you mentioned.
There are separate tickets for the luncheon. And unfortunately, we had to give Chef Franco at Lark's a head count. So we had to close the tickets. But we'll probably have a few extra.
All right, so people might be able to actually listen to the lunch presentation, but not necessarily eat.
They might possibly be able to get tickets to the luncheon at the door.
Okay.
So we will probably have a few of those still.
When I look at the list of exhibitors and booths at the Oregon Honey Festival, I'm rather surprised that there are this many places involving bees and honey. With something involving bees or apiaries in their names, it's quite a long list. Were you surprised yourself when you began to pull this all together?
Yes. But beekeepers are sometimes hard to find. They're a little bit elusive, so that was probably a major task in pulling this together. And having met them, I find them some of the most delightful people, very knowledgeable about their craft. There are people that are just making honey, like what we're seeing here. There are people that are pulling together honey as medicine. There are people who are, who are doing things with candles and waxes and soaps. And, they all have great integrity about their products, which is really nice to see.
And Jen Ambrose, I don't want to leave you out of this completely. So will you be playing when during the Oregon Honey Festival?
I'll be there at the beginning at 11 o'clock.
Playing music in the background for people to hear?
Yeah, that's right. 11, all right. 12, 15.
We will have two additional folks. One is Carla Bauer, who's a local Rogue Valley artist, and we'll also be having the group Sequoia.
All right. Well, do you want to play us out? We can skip our usual exit music, and Jen Ambrose can play us out. The Oregon Honey Festival, 11 to 4 on Saturday at the Ashland Springs Hotel. Sharon Schmidt organized it. It's the first of its kind, and we've had Jen Ambrose here as well. Jen, thanks for joining us. Sharon, thanks for joining us, and away we go.
As I roam down this road of life, miles of myself become the ground below. Will I find happiness? Will I find strife? As I roll down